jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. Welcome to the 2019 first preseason Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm back with FB Donkey.
G'day Marcus, how you going, mate? It's been a while.
Certainly has been, and we weren't exactly sure whether we'd butter up again this season, but I think the preseason shows are the shows we enjoy the most, so we'll get through these and see where we land. Our listeners have been asking where we've been. It's been a slightly slower start to 2019 for us, Mark, mid-Feb.
I reckon that's about right, though. I think that getting into Supercoach in early Jan is probably a bit early, and I know that some of the fantasy providers are out pre-Christmas, which... there's just no way that's going to happen. And we've never really taken that model before.
No, I think we normally start 1 week earlier, but certainly the AFLW and the AFLX seem to have pushed out the preseason games and how much sort of media exposure the men's clubs get. So yeah, I think it's probably apt that we wait a little bit and let the dust settle. Of course, it's always fun to sort of be delving into your team. So if anybody has already been doing that, hopefully we can start giving you some guidance. And normally as we work through these preseason podcasts, I know for me, Mark, it helps give my team some shape. So I'm looking forward to getting back into it.
Yeah, well, you basically spend the next 6 weeks waiting for me to tell you how to pick your team and then you just follow my advice pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. And just execute better, you know.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
All right. So how we tackle our preseason shows, if this is the first time you're joining us, welcome. We do 4 positional shows and then we wrap up with a rookies and recap show. So a recap of the JLT and more of a rehash on the mid prices, especially early on in the preseason, Mark. We like to focus more of our attention on the premiums because those are the guys that we know a little bit more of, having seen them play for the last X years. And it's more having a look at the current price point and trying to figure out who might be suitable for this year's team structure.
That sounds fair. And we get to the rookies right at the end when we actually know something about what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. We're starting this series with the midfielders, Mark. I think that it's probably the easiest place to start, especially because the other positions, the back lines, the forwards, and even the rucks tend to allow more mid-price selections. And so because we're picking more from rookies and premiums, the midfield seems like a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, I think you tried to convince me to start with the rucks, but I honestly have no idea what I'm doing at this stage. So hit me up on Twitter if you've got some advice for me because, yeah, the rucks are very much up in the air still.
How much time have you spent so far on the preseason, mate? What was your preseason looked like so far?
Pretty limited so far, really, but maybe my version of a limited preseason is probably the entire preseason for a lot of coaches out there.
I think it's definitely more of a head start than I've got so far. I just got the prospectus in my hand this morning when I went out for my morning coffee. So hopefully I'll get a lot more into it over the next month. But as we mentioned, the midfield's a good place to start anyway. Before we get into the show, I do want to give a shout out to our Patreons. We are kicking that back off following the release of this episode. So patreon.com/supercoachcoach. If it's the first time joining us and you're not too sure what Patreon is, it's a place where you can go on and pledge support to the creators that you love or support. And it just helps us out with a bit of a consistent income to help pay for the hosting of the podcast, our podcast gear, and give us a little bit of pocket money to say thank you for the show as well. So for everyone who supported us over the last 2 years, we're heading into our third year of Patreon. We very, very much appreciate your support so far. And for anyone new and considering potentially joining on, we will be releasing bonus content even more this year than we have in the previous 2 years, Mark. It has been sort of an upward trend. First year was limited. Last year, I think we did 10 bonus eps. And this year, hopefully, we'll do a little bit more. So at the end of this show, Mark and I are going to stay on for about 20 minutes more to cover some extra players and also have a chat about the new rules and what that might mean for Supercoach in 2019. So big shout out to our Patreons and please consider supporting us if you have not before.
Yeah, I was listening to Sam Harris on the Joe Rogan podcast the other day and he sort of was saying it's either ads or Patreon, basically, or the Patreon sort of model, and that he thinks that the paywall is sort of the future. And so as much as we'd like to just do everything for free, I think that people are maybe too used to having free content on the internet and there needs to be some way of at least funding the requirements to run a show.
Well, we've been doing this for over a decade now, and
is this year 11, Marcus?
Yeah. And last year, I know we said we weren't too sure whether we'd butter up again, and I think the next oldest podcast is 6 years old, maybe. So we've been around the longest, and we've seen a lot of people come and go. We definitely would appreciate the support. Having said that, you know, we're not intending to put undue pressure. The show is, of course, available for free for those of you who can't quite afford to help out at that point in time or don't want to. Of course, we still love building our community and helping people achieve elite results. Oh, how have we spent 6 minutes and not mentioned yet, Mark, that we have butted up and won 2 league prizes back to back? So we've
back to back
proven history of success. So
it doesn't get much more elite than that, mate.
Yeah. All right. Enough fluffing on. Let's get into the show, Mark. So I've put a bit of a rundown together, and we're going to take a slightly different approach to how we're running through the players this year. I want to sort of take a rating system to the players so that we can discuss more players, give them a rating, give you an idea of where we sit on each of those players. And then only if there's something a little bit interesting or if we contrast in our views, we might sort of have a bit more of a chat about those players. So I've broken down the players into guys who can average 110 or more and have done so previously, and blokes who are candidates to break into that sort of elite territory.
We have a lot of players to get through today, son.
Mm-hmm. We certainly do. Last year of the top 9 or top 8 midfielders in Supercoach, the 8th or 9th ranked player averaged like 108 or 109. So 110 is a pretty good bracket to be looking for when you're looking at a top 8 midfielder, and that's sort of where we've drawn the line. The way we're going to rate these players, Mark, which is a little bit new, is in 4 categories. So 1, are they a trap? And so basically we will not consider picking those players. Or we can rate them high, medium, or low. So low means sort of a wait and see approach. You might want to see a little bit of JLT form before you make your decision, but those players are in your consideration set. You might end up picking them by the end of the preseason. A medium ranked player is somebody who you're actively considering, and a high ranked player is somebody who you're more likely to start. So highs sort of tending toward the locks, medium sort of actively considered, low wait and see, and trap, I'm not going to pick this player. So if we take that approach, Mark, hopefully we can rate a fair few more players and see where we contrast and cover a few more players that way.
Sounds good, mate.
All right, let's jump into it with the first section of players. These ones are the top 8 players from 2018 who are starting in the midfield only in 2019. So we're not including Patrick Dangerfield, who we get to pick in the forward line this year. Tom Mitchell has, of course, gone down, sadly, with a broken leg. And so because of that, I've extended the top 8 to top 9, and that's why I referenced 8/9 before, Mark. So we'll just go through one by one. Obviously, Tom Mitchell was the highest averaging supercoacher last year, so we'll skip past him, and we'll start straight with number 2, Jack McRae. How do you rate him, mate?
Medium to high, actually. He's entering his 7th season, has averaged pretty much 100 every year, and then just had the big jump last year. I don't see any reason why he can't continue. It's just whether I have enough midfield spots for him to be one of them.
Yeah, he's high for me. Very, very strongly considering him. The little bit of a worry is last year was just such a big jump up that there's a bit of risk in him being able to continue that.
Very few players back up 120 seasons or their first ever 120 season.
Agreed. And I mean, even if he has a couple sort of quiet weeks, if you can trade him in as your first upgrade, it's not to say that even if you don't start Jack McRae, you don't intend on getting him in. Last year's winner of AFL Fantasy didn't start with Tom Mitchell, so it can be a strategy not starting with an uber expensive player. Next player, Patrick Cripps, coming in at number 3 from 2018. Mark, how do you rate him?
High. It's probably between him and McRae for me.
High for me as well. I worry a little bit with Cripps just in terms of how banged up he gets.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've had some injuries already, Carlton, and you'd like him to get a little bit more support to pick him with a little bit more faith. The next player, Clayton Oliver, coming in at 4th last year. Where do you sit on him, mate?
Double shoulder surgery probably has me worried. So even though I'd love to pick him, he's probably low to me.
Yep. The next one I've seen in almost every preseason team so far, Nathan Fyfe.
Hi, buddy. The only reason not
is that high or lock?
High. I don't think he's a lock. He's great value at 620. I think that makes him close to a lock, just the price factor. But he misses games every single season. He hasn't averaged 120 plus for like 3 years. So the potential is there, which makes him so close to a lock. But his last 3 years plus Neil going doesn't scream like you have to pick him.
Agree with that. I wonder how much difference Neil leaving will actually make to his Supercoach scoring. Fife got the tag like anyway. Like, he's the one that got attention over Neil most of the time. But losing your sort of second in command might still have an effect. The next bloke who came in at sixth is probably the next guy that I've seen picked sort of in the same echelon as Fife, and that's Josh Kelly. I rarely find a team without Jay Kelly.
Yeah, I think that maybe we do need a category above high, which is lock, and Josh Kelly won't be leaving my team unless there's some sort of weird injury thing come up.
What sort of moves him above that bracket?
So down year last year, which makes him cheap, just coming into the prime. He's had a couple of his other mates in the midfield leave. Everything points to Josh Kelly being a 120-plus player as long as he stays fit. So I think we're also going to need a captaincy option, and he may well be it.
Lachie Neal moved over to Brisbane. So this is a little bit interesting. I wonder whether that will lead to an upswing or a downswing in his points. How have you got him rated, mate?
A low chance of making my team. I don't like paying that much for someone that is, there's just so much uncertainty surrounding them because they're moving teams. I'd just like to get more information, so very unlikely to make my starting team.
Agree with that. I wouldn't call him a trap, but I don't really have him in my consideration set for that reason, Mark. So yeah, a no for me. Adam Treloar coming in at number eight. Really just finished the year with a bang. We've picked Treloar probably more than the average have in the past. And last year, he really showed his chops. Injuries are definitely a concern with Treloar. Like, he's had hamstring issues in the past before, and that probably has me sort of the most nervous. I have him probably as a low. He's in the consideration set, but compared to all the other blokes we talked about so far, I don't really see myself starting with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think I brought him in the week that he did the double hammy last year. Like, just the pain is still resonating in my bones.
Oh, God, that was so good.
Yeah, and just watching him, like, clutch both his hammies at the same time. What the fuck are the chances of that? And also Collingwood adding Beams, and their midfield is just super deep. So I'm not sure that anyone's going to be super elite in that midfield with regards to scoring.
All right, number nine, another GWS midfielder. And funny enough, he sits at number nine because he started for a lot of coaches last season.
Yeah, 450. I think I'm pretty sure he was like one of my first picked in the preseason, mate.
That's Cornelio. I'm surprised seeing him at nine, actually. I guess if you add Dangerfield in and stuff, he's a bit further down. But still, averaging 108 or 109 or whatever it was to finish the season was certainly very good. And even though he played a bit up forward, he was actually dangerous up forward and kicked goals and scored points as well. I don't know whether I'd be starting with him. That almost seems pretty close to sort of the ceiling I'd expect for a guy who spends that much time rotating up forward as a resting forward. But yeah, certainly did well for us last year, but a low for me this year.
Yeah, I agree. It's a low.
Maybe even a trap, because there is potential he could go down if he spent even more time up forward.
Yeah, I guess a little bit depends on whether Toby Green plays. I don't really see him as being a trap, because I think that, like, there's some chance that he could actually post a 120-plus season. He is an absolute gun. So the upside's there, but just a low for me.
Next section of players that we're going to talk about, Mark, are players that have moved teams over the off-season. So we'll start with a bloke that you've already referenced so far in relation to Adam Treloar, and that's Dane Beams landing back at Collingwood, where we saw the best of him in terms of fantasy scoring, Mark. He had a couple of disappointing seasons in Brisbane. I mean, it wasn't poor by any means, but certainly injury affected and didn't quite reach the peaks of Collingwood. You're always nervous picking a bloke that has moved teams or might be impacted by a bloke moving into your team. And for that reason, I'd probably wait and see what happens during the preseason.
Probably a trap for me, given he just hasn't been consistently able to get onto the park for the last probably 6 years, really. Had probably more games last year, but I may love being back at Collingwood. But yeah, there's too many unknowns there to be picking Dane Beams for me.
The 125 upside is a trap, you reckon?
Well, it's happened once in like
correct
10 years. So yeah, it is a trap.
All right, next bloke, and you probably love talking about this guy, Dylan Scheel, who's moved to your team, mate. I think we saw a 20-plus point jump when Devon Smith moved to Essendon and he scored 106, getting more midfield time.
How much was that?
More than 20-point jump. It was
20
points. Pretty crazy when you look back in hindsight. Wow. One of the picks in the end of the year. Unfortunately, you started with him and I did not last year, so I was cheering against him most of the season to no avail. Dylan Scheel, though, his average so far suggests that you wouldn't want to start him off in the midfield, but with more opportunity and with Essendon really lacking that outside player, Shiel could sort of use his running ability to good effect there and potentially be a breakout year. He seems like a trap to me, but I'd be interested to hear what an Essendon fan thinks.
Look, I think you're probably right. If it wasn't for his price, I think he's a trap. Like, he's discounted to under 500 grand, and he's a potential, like, he could be a top eight mid for under 500 grand, which would work out brilliantly. I'm not sure that he's shown enough in the past to think that that's the case. He's had some really good games, but he does seem to get tagged out of games or injured during games and has those low scores, which really bring his average down. So while I'm expecting him to make a big difference to the Bombers' side, yeah, I won't be picking him.
They used to call him Chris Judd when he was coming up as a kid and in his first few years in the AFL. So, like you said, has that top eight potential, but yeah, maybe not quite.
Coming into his eighth year, like he has the potential to really become an elite mid in the competition. Like, he's still young enough to do that, but...
All right. Come on, Bomber fans. Massive jump.
You're gambling massively that would happen.
All right. How about the next bloke who's been in a few draft teams, but has had some hamstring tightness? Dan Hannabry, a big fall from grace over the last couple of years, and a lot of people got caught up in his downward swing, sort of averaging down and taking him in as he sort of continued to bottom out. He's at 320K and moved over to the Saints. Even though he's had hamstring tightness, he still reckons he's a good shot to make round one. What do you reckon, Mark? Hannabry, is he a trap?
Oh, potential trap for sure. Really tricky pick because the five seasons before last year, he averaged 95 plus, with two of them being 110 plus. So, like, if he can get his body right, you would think that that potential is still there to get back to that scoring. Like, he did it for 5 years. It's not a small sample size. The upside is there. There's also the chance that he turns into bloody Tom Rockliffe and just does that.
He's low for me. He's a wait and see. You'd want to see a preseason game, I reckon, before you take a gamble on Hannabry.
Yeah.
And that could mean you might not see him at all, and you might have to decide whether or not you're ballsy enough to try and pick him. But the Rockliffe example last year is a pretty good one, Mark.
There's about four or five players at a similar price that have the potential to average 100 plus. And it'll be an interesting discussion that we'll have at some stage around what do you actually need a $350,000 midfielder to average to make them worth picking? Especially considering rookies could average 80, premiums are averaging 110. So for 350, you're really in the middle and you basically need them to get to a premium score, at least a low premium score. So you probably need sort of 103 plus.
I think we talked about 105 previously being sort of the bottom point. So you pick them as your potential, you know, M8 to run out the season. And if the top eight are averaging 108, 110, then you can probably absorb a, you know, 3 to 5 point drop from that to have a bloke that you don't have to spend a trade on and essentially gives you 200, 300K worth of value.
They're really, really tricky to pick. So I personally haven't had a lot of success picking players in that bracket.
Yeah.
In the midfield.
Agreed. All right. Now we're moving to the next bracket of players who have averaged 110 plus for at least one season and gotten pretty close for at least another. So we will start off maybe with a bloke that is in that same price bracket as Dan Hannabry, and that's Tom Liberatore from the Western Bulldogs. He averaged, I think, 107 one season and 111 in another. His upside's really high when he's smashing that contested ball and just racking up the pill in the midfield. Yeah, he gets some big points, but he's burnt a few of us over the last few years as we've been tempted back into that upside. And this seems like another year where we're again in that temptation mode. What do you reckon, mate? Is he a trap or is he in your consideration set?
Not a chance going to be considered for my side. And
you've been burnt a lot by him.
Last year, like literally, he had two touches in the first 5 minutes, and I'm thinking, I'm onto a winner here. I'm going to win Supercoach. And within the first 10 minutes, and then did his knee. And
yeah, you and me both. But that's
it. I think it was the second game of the season. And right at that moment, I knew that I could not win Supercoach in the second game of the season. So yeah, I can't. I'm not going to forgive him for that.
Trap for me too. I'm
not. Trap anyway.
Yeah, yep. All right, let's go to another bloke, Rory Sloan. What do you reckon, mate? He's a proven premium, but he has injury concerns and he seems to dip in and out of this 110 bracket.
Yeah, he really does. Even within seasons, like he seems to be really patchy where he'll have a sequence of games where he'll be the top mid in the competition and then just drop right back and get tagged out of games. And highest ever average of pretty close to 115. So he's never really put together that really, really high level season. Look, I think he's probably an okay pick. a one for me. Very unlikely to make my team, but I don't think he's a trap.
Yeah, low for me as well. All right, how about Matt Crouch, mate? His teammate and younger protege, and probably has a little bit more consistency just because he doesn't get tagged out. Rory's the bloke that gets tagged out.
Yeah.
But injuries have been a concern in the past as well.
Yeah. Averaged 110 a couple of years ago, just 100 last year in an injury-affected year. He's a high for me. At 550,000, I think he's got a fair bit of upside, and he has a 120-plus season in him. Adelaide have a good draw early in the season, so I think he is almost 50-50 to make my team at this stage.
Yeah, he's medium for me. I struggle to pick him past blokes that have done it consistently, but his talent's definitely there. And when you look at all the preseason draft teams, he's made a fair few of them just because of that upside you talk about. People can see him getting to that 120 scoring bracket. And a lot of the times missing out on those players can really define a season. So I can understand the attraction to a player like Crouch. Zach Merritt's a bloke who probably doesn't quite have that upside, but he's certainly been consistent in the past. Last year, he absolutely stunk it up at the start of the season, really burnt some coaches and then turned things around a little bit. I don't know how sort of the additions of Smith and Chiel over the couple of years will affect him going forward. Zachy Merritt, you'd be the better man to talk about him than I would. Where do you see him?
I'm actually pretty offended that you were so dismissive of him here, mate. I think that he absolutely has a 120 season in him because his endurance is incredible. His kicking skills are probably the best kicker that the Bombers.
All right. Not competing against much though.
Right. And the main point is, will Shield, because Shield is so damaging, will Shield cop the tag ahead of Zach? And basically, if someone sat on Shield for 22 games and it meant that Zach could run free, Zach's season and his scores would be significantly higher. So, look, probably unlikely to make my team just because, I don't know, I think it just makes it hard going to the Bombers games, and there's just, it confuses my loyalties a little bit. But I think that he has the potential for a really good year. I guess the main concern would be that he's spent 3 weeks in January in a moon boot with an ankle injury. So you don't really want players without perfect preseasons if you're looking for a breakout.
I mean, something that, you know, you're right. I was a little bit dismissive. He did average 111 in his third season, 109 in his fourth, and last year averaged only 100. So just in that, it does present value, even if he doesn't get to that 120 price bracket. 109 last year would have been enough to put him in the top 8 midfielders for the year. So, yeah, certainly not a poor option by any means. But
I accept your apology.
Oh, I missed this, Mark. All right, next bloke. This one's good for me because I didn't pick him last year and you certainly did.
Skip.
Tommy Rockliffe. I don't even know why I still put him in this previous 110 plus bracket because he's burnt us so much.
Talk to me.
Did you bring him in twice last year, Mark?
Skip.
Yeah, I think it's a trap from the both of us. He's surprisingly still not that old. I think he's 29 or something.
Who was next?
Dusty Martin. Now, this is an interesting one because, I mean, he was like a must-have and then last year dropped off a bit, but we hear he was playing fairly sore. I haven't seen him in as many preseason teams as I was expecting to. I was a bit surprised by that. He's definitely high for me. How about you, Mark?
Oh, low to medium, to be honest, for me. So he's played 9 seasons, and I know he had like a ridiculous season in 2017, but he's only ever averaged over 110 once in 9 seasons. So maybe the 2017 was the exception rather than the norm. Tigers did win the grand final. They were still relying a lot on their big four. Last year, they moved more to a Hawthorn sort of style of football where they really, really spread around the scoring from week to week. You're right. He did seem to be playing injured, and there was just something. His explosiveness wasn't quite there, and maybe he can get right back up there. But yeah, a player that could definitely burn me and prove me wrong, but personally not in the consideration for me at this stage.
He's very polarizing. I can see him, obviously, when he's in teams, people really rate his upside. And then the fact that he's omitted from a lot of other teams where 2 years ago he just won the Brownlow medal by an insane margin. Yeah, he's certainly a polarizing figure as he's always been. Next bloke, Lukey Parker. I've always considered him a bit more of a trap because of the amount of time he spends in the forward line and the amount of points he relies on by kicking goals. But the years that he does spike up and average, you know, close to that 110 mark, which he's done twice so far, he's certainly burnt me. He's as per usual, not a bloke that I'm going to be picking. So a trap for me. Mark, how do you rate him?
Yeah, I think he got a bit unlucky last year because I think he was slated for more midfield time, but there was so many injuries to like Reed and Franklin and others in the Swans forward line that he just had to play way more up there, which affected his average. But interestingly, his highest ever average in an odd year is 99, which he's done twice. So that's what? Why are you laughing?
Fun facts.
Yeah, hates odd years. That's 2019, which is odd.
All right. now we're going to the next section of players who have averaged 110 previously and pretty consistently, but now they're 30 plus years of age. And so they're the old stages. They might still get back up there, but they might be on a They are on a downward trend probably. We'll start off with Dane Zorko, probably the younger one with a lot that we're going to discuss.
Yeah.
Last year was really tagged out of games, but started to turn things around in the second half of the season. How do you see him, mate?
Can be inconsistent within seasons. I think that he may be a player that benefits a lot from having Lachie Neale there to take a bit of the tag away from him. Wouldn't write him off. Not in consideration at all for my team, but I don't think he's a trap and I wouldn't want to dismiss him.
He's a low for me. 109, 111, and then a 96. He just presents value. So next bloke, Scotty Pendlebury for Collingwood. He's burnt me a couple of times over the last couple of years, so he's a trap for me now, sadly. And the congestion in the midfield doesn't help.
Yeah, too many guns in Collingwood midfield. Trap.
Mark Murphy.
Trap.
Trap for me as well, yep. And then Gary Ablett is the next one, and he's moving to the forward line, so that seems like a trap as well.
How much is he worth?
Not too sure. I think he averaged 106 last year in the end, so he's not cheap.
Yeah, I would love to see Ablett kick 50-plus in a season. And I guess you can't pick him as a midfielder, but hopefully we can pick him as a forward the following year. If Ablett kicks 50-plus this season, it's going to be a fun year as a Geelong supporter.
He's averaged 114 each of the previous 3 years, so last year, and last year was a bit of a drop-off, but he did noticeably drop off in the Geelong team as well in terms of his influence on games.
Yeah, agreed.
The next two potentially a little bit more attractive of this bunch, Joel Selwood. He has been very hot and cold, but hopefully moving a bit more into the midfield, that might free Selwood up and see him offer some value at, you know, 105 average is pretty low for Joel.
Yeah, look, I think that there's a really good chance that he's going to keep something around that average. Fair bit of talk in the preseason of him moving to halfback. I think he's a trap.
He has averaged 105 or below in three of the last four seasons. So sad to say, but I think I agree with you there as well, Mark. And the last bloke, Josh Kennedy for Sydney. Is he a trap as well in this old stage of bracket? I think we've only identified Zorko so far as a bloke that we'd pick.
Yeah, well, potentially. I think in the last 2 years, we've seen the changing of the guard a bit. And with players like Josh Kelly and Matty Crouch and stuff coming through, I think that I'm much more comfortable to pick those guys.
All right, so we're going to go now to the almost there. So pretty close to being 110 plus players, but haven't quite broken up into that echelon. So the first bloke, Taylor Adams, average 107. Last year had not the best start to the season, had a bit of an interrupted preseason. I think I missed the game early on as well, but really stormed home to finish the second half of the year and would have averaged pretty close to that 110 bracket. So in about a season and a half of the last two seasons, he's been pretty close to the money. What do you reckon, mate? Does he present value at his price point?
I don't think he's... I think he's not pickable at all. I'm a big Taylor Adams fan. I'd love to pick him in a different position, but as a midfielder and so much competition in the Collingwood midfield, I just don't think he's the one that's going to be averaging 110 this year. So, and if he does, that's probably the ceiling. So... Not for me, mate.
Yeah, I think I have him as low because at his price point, even if he averages like 109, 108, that's still pretty good. He averaged 96 last year. So in the consideration set. Next bloke, Dyson Heppel. He's like almost the definition of an almost there. I think he's averaged 106, 104. Last two seasons have been a little bit quieter. We were expecting him to be a 110, 115 plus player fairly perennially.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about Dyson for 2019, mate?
He could have a really great year. I just don't think he's a Supercoach relevant player, to be honest, in the midfield. He's just not as effective enough as a kick and doesn't get enough of the ball. He does amazing things as a leader and a brilliant player, but he might be the third or fourth best midfielder at Essendon.
Right, next bloke from my team now, Mitchy Duncan. And almost there. He averaged 109.8 in 2017, 106 last year, and did miss a couple games and had a bit of an interrupt to start. But he's really moved up there in terms of consistently racking up the numbers at Geelong and providing a lot of link-up play. I have him probably as a low. I don't think I'll actually start him, but I don't quite think he's a trap either. But doesn't quite have that upside, unfortunately.
Not for me, mate.
The next bloke's probably the most exciting of the bunch, and that's Bontempelli. I mean, considering his upside, the bloke has just not realised his potential from a Supercoach sense. And some of that's him having to play up forward and play a bit of a role. But 103 in his second season playing games, and then 107, 105, and 104. Not broken into that 110 bracket. I was surprised to see that when I was looking back.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say not realise his potential in a super coach perspective, but I think he's definitely realising his potential in a footy perspective.
Yeah, yeah,
absolute gun. McRae had similar-ish stats going into his sixth year and completely broke out. I think Bont is probably too dangerous to be given as much room as McRae to do something like that. So the forwardness combined with the attention in the middle may mean that he finds it difficult, but it wouldn't surprise me at all for him to completely dominate. Probably just a bit of a trap. Just based on his history, that you're kind of going to be excited some weeks and he's just not going to quite get there. But I think he should be in consideration for some people if you're a big fan.
Next bloke, he's brand new to a midfield-only position, and that's Elliot Yeo.
I don't think you can pick him as a midfielder, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him even still improve on the 108 average.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly picked up his basement scoring last year. He had one poor score that was 27, but apart from that...
Oh, that's pretty poor.
Apart from that, though, it was 70 plus. He only had two games under 90 outside of that 27. So 27, 70, 88, everything else was 90 plus, which is that's better than we've seen in the past from Yeo.
Just over the last 2 years, he's had quiet halves and quiet quarters, but also had just massive quarters and massive halves to compensate for that, which has raised that basement a bit.
He's not a bloke that I'd want to have in my midfield because he'd give me a heart attack for the amount of money I'm paying for him, but I'm probably a bit dismissive of him. The next bracket of players, one-hit wonders. So they've hit 110 plus, I think, once, and outside of that have struggled to repeat that. Steel side bottom, probably a trap there.
Yeah, just with the addition of Beams. He's an absolute gun, but I don't think he's super coach relevant.
Callan Ward, Mark, you used to enjoy picking him. He's actually, I think, still 28, turning 29. He's younger than I expected.
Yeah, he seemed like he was pretty old when he got to the Giants, but he was pretty young because he was made captain pretty young. Look, he seems to be getting it done year after year, but doesn't have that super upside ceiling. And there might be a bit of a theme here that I'm looking for players that I think can go 115 plus. Not the will, but that I think have the potential to do that.
Agree with that. Trent Cotchin.
Try it.
You keep going back to him. I reckon you've picked him 3 out of 4 seasons.
I apologize to listeners. I'm about to swear, but fuck him off.
Wow, this is the most dismissive you've been of Koch in a while. All right, the last one, Jack Stephen.
No.
All right, to 4 blokes who had a bit of a breakout year last year, didn't quite manage to keep it up for the entire season, but in patches were 115 plus, probably for sort of 10 rounds. First bloke, Ed Curno. Not very flashy. We expected his downfall when it came, but can he take that a step up this year?
Not even in remote consideration for my team. The Carlton have got a lot of developing mids. You'd want them to be getting the ball more than Curno, wouldn't you?
Tom Phillips, Collingwood congestion probably rules him out, but he was averaging, I think, 112 for the first half of the season. Angus Brayshaw. Now, he finished with an absolute bang, and he's always been a highly rated player. And he could, I think, make a jump up compared to the Curno and Phillips. He has a lot more of, you know, X factor or talent or whatever you want to call it.
Pedigree.
Yeah.
Yep, agreed with that. And first real full season without, well, I know you only played 19 games, but just some real consistency from Brayshaw last year, and you didn't think that he was just going to be missing weeks with concussion or whatever. So has the potential to step up. Is he going to make a big enough step this year? I think that it's actually possible, given how much time he spent in the midfield at late last season, how much of the ball he was getting. A fair bit of gamble on him, but I wouldn't totally rule him out.
Yeah, I think I have him as a bit of a trap. his price point, I think, makes him a bit of a trap because I can see him going to that 105, but to break up as a 110, and maybe where Jack Viney gets back a bit more this year and starts taking some more of those inside points. I don't hate the selection, but I personally will not be taking the risk.
Sorry, there's just not many picks that we've taken in the last few years at that price point that have worked out in the midfield when you're looking for a breakout and they're in the midfield. So if you can get him as a forward or a defender, that can work. But normally it's like a returning premium or someone that's had a bit longer in the system. The picking the sort of fourth, fifth year player to break out at after coming off a 97 average is very tricky to do.
That's a good intro to Lockie Hunter. He's a bloke that did sort of break out last year. Probably not as much in Supercoach scoring as AFL Fantasy scoring. Isn't quite as damaging, but he certainly started to rack it up last year. But I agree with you. That price point just makes it sort of very hard to pick a bloke like that in his seventh or eighth year. Now, the last guy that we have on the run sheet, Mark, is a mid-pricer that provides a little bit of value and has made it to quite a few teams. Moved over from Richmond, where he was averaging fairly comfortably in the 90s or high 90s, to now playing for Gold Coast. Anthony Miles. Has he made your team so far this preseason, mate?
He hasn't, but look, he's very much under consideration given what he's shown in the past. I guess the big question for me is, will any Gold Coast mid average over 105 this year? And I'm not sure that the answer to that is yes, which means despite his price point, it still becomes really tricky to pick him. Like if he averages 101 for the year and plays 22 games, he will consider that a great year, yet he would have turned out to be a bit of a mess Supercoach pick. He would sort of like in the middle, it's like it's not a big win, it's not a big loss, it just is.
Agreed. I think the problem with a 101 player is you probably still want to move them on to a 110 plus player if you can. And that's why it makes it a very meh pick. If you think he can get to 105 plus, then he might be there. But yeah, a trap for me as well. All right, Mark, that wraps up all the different players we had to talk about. We actually covered quite a few in the 40 or so minutes.
Yeah, and I can't believe we didn't recommend a midfield full of mid-prices as well. What's happened to us?
There's no uber-talented Jaegers to tempt us in this year. Do you have any thoughts to sort of wrap up the midfield show, mate? Any thoughts about structure or any bits of advice?
I guess you're looking at it's hard to work out the structure at the moment because we don't know a heap about the rookies still, but you're still probably looking at picking between four and six mids, which is a pretty standard sort of way of going about it. I guess one thing to consider this year is that I know we've got Danger up forward, but potentially you're going to need to be thinking about captaincy options.
Now, how many of your starting mids do you reckon would be in those first nine players that we talked about that were already in the top eight last year? Because I'm seeing most starting mids having basically a rolled gold option to start off with and a lot less trying to dip into the Sloan, Merritt, Rockliffe, Martin camp.
Yeah, and maybe that's before we see some big preseason scores when Dusty Pope pumps out at 160 and JLT1 and you think, oh yeah, he seems right. Yeah, look, at the moment, if I was going to pick five midfield premiums, maybe even four would be coming from that top nine at the moment.
Yeah, agreed with that, mate. I think I'm venturing out for maybe one or two, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark, for the first show of the preseason. We're going to now record a little bit of a bonus for our Patreon. So don't forget patreon.com.
Patreon.com/supercoachcoach
if you're looking to support the show and get some bonus content. Last year, Mark, for our patrons, we released a team picker. So sort of who you should pick from and a bit of a team structure. I think a week out from the season starting off. And I know that helped our listeners out a little bit. So we'll be looking to do something similar again this year. So
nice. We'll
have plenty of bonus content for those of you who are looking to support the show. And thank you again for tuning on, listening in, coming back for, I don't know how many would be listening for 11 years, but for our 11th year, thank you very much for your listenership and your support. Mark, anything to finish up with?
Go Bombers, mate.
I missed that side off. We'll be posting leagues and groups via social media in the next week, so look out for that as well. Our ranked leagues have continued to smash it over the last few years, so we've done a promotion relegation system mostly, so if you're brand new, you'll start off a little bit lower. But a reminder for anyone who's been in our leagues previously to join us back again. I think we're easily the most competitive ranked leagues now in the Supercoach landscape. So with that, we will sign off and we'll catch you all next week. Where do you reckon we'll go to positionally, Mark?
I guess I'm going to try and avoid the rucks as long as possible. So we might venture up forward.
That sounds good to me, mate. All right. And we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya. Don't want this, get crazy. Don't want this, get crazy. Let's get crazy.